Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back. I'm Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS. Again, feedback email address, ccrecap@gmail.com. Well, lying, it seems like everyone does it at some point in their lives, but what about people who say that they're always honest? Are they? And what kind of factors lead people to be more or less honest? To find out, I'm joined by Dan Ariely. He's the James B. Duke Professor of Behavior Economics at Duke University. His new book on this topic, The Honest Truth About Dishonesty, How We Lie to Everyone, Especially Ourselves, just came out this month. You can find him online at danariely.com. Dan, thanks for joining us on WILS.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, with the research you did for this book, is it safe to assume that all people lie about something sometime? And if someone tells you they never lie, that they're lying.
That's probably a good bet. What we find is that lots of people are cheating, but just a little bit. And the way to understand it is that people have these two goals. On one hand, we want to think of ourselves as honest, wonderful, you know, law-abiding citizens. On the other hand, we want to benefit from cheating. And you could say, how could you do both? You're either honest or you're cheating. Well, it turns out that as long as we cheat just a little bit, we could get both. As long as we cheat just a little bit, we can think of ourselves as honest people and at the same time benefit from being dishonest. And the basic mechanism that we find is that it's all about rationalization. It's all about how we can behave slightly dishonestly and tell ourselves stories about why this is actually okay.
I see. Now, in fact, I think you point out that the top factors of dishonesty are rationalization and creativity. Aren't those signs of a highly intelligent person, though?
Yep. Yeah, so when we tested intelligence directly, and we asked the question of whether intelligent people cheat more than non-intelligent people, we did not get a positive correlation. So it's not the case that just being intelligent helps you. But it is the case that creative people cheat more. And why? Because if you think back to this idea of balancing these two goals, it's all about rationalization. Now, if you're trying to tell yourself stories about why these expense reports are actually okay, and why selling your client's mortgage-backed security is actually a good idea, and why putting these extra receipts on your taxes was actually a good idea, if you're more creative, you can come up with better stories. You can tell yourself why this is actually a good thing to do. And that's the basic mechanism we find.
Now, obviously, in the Bible, one of the Ten Commandments is not to lie. That is a sin. But is that, in general, one of the primary factors, this kind of religious outlook that keep people from lying? Or are there typically other factors that play in?
So religion is really fascinating. First of all, different religions treat dishonesty differently. But, you know, we all recognize that there's some role in life for lying. For example, the famous saying, you know, honey, how do I look in that dress? Right? No matter what religion you're from, almost nobody is saying just tell the honest truth regardless of the consequences. Right? And every person understands that there's trade-offs between those values. We value honesty, but we all also value friendship, and we all also value keeping face and honor and all kinds of other things. So what happened is that when these values contradict each other, all of a sudden we have a problem. And by the way, one of those values could be, I want more money. And all of a sudden they start contradicting with each other. Now, here is the fascinating thing about dishonesty, about religion. It turns out that when we get even non-religious people to think about religion, they start behaving differently. So, for example, our basic experiment, let me start with the basic experiment and then tell you what we've done with religion. Our basic experiment looks as follows. We give people a sheet with 20 simple math problems, and we tell them, why don't you go ahead in the next 5 minutes and solve as many of those as you can, and we'll give you a dollar per question. And people go ahead and they solve as many as they can. At the end of the 5 minutes, we say, okay, stop, count how many questions you got correctly, and now please go to the back of the room and shred your piece of paper. People shred their piece of paper, and then we say, now please come to the front of the room and tell us how many questions you got correctly. People do that, and they claim 6 problems. We give them $6, and they go home. What the people in the experiment don't realize is we played with the shredder. And the shredder only shred the size of the page, but the main body of the page remains intact, and we can find out how many questions they really solve correctly.
I see. 9 times out of 10, are they lying about that?
Yeah. I mean, the most common finding is that people lie a little bit.
Okay. Almost always. But tell me quickly, though, how does the religious aspect play into that?
Okay. So we had one experiment exactly like this, but before the experiment, we asked people to try and recall the Ten Commandments. Now, we did this at UCLA in Los Angeles, and we did it with 500 students, and none of them remembered all 10 commandments, and they invented all kinds of new interesting ones. But after trying to remember the 10 commandments, nobody cheated. The interesting thing was that even when we got people who were self-declared atheists, and we got them to swear on the Bible, and then we gave them a chance to cheat, nobody cheated. Now, what this tells me is that religion is not only for the religious, that religion has kind of captured some basic human values. And the moment people start thinking about those values, there's a higher behavior that they would actually start to behave in a way that is consistent with that.
Gotcha. I'm talking to Dan Ariely. He's the author of this brand new book, The Honest Truth About Dishonesty, How We Lie to Everyone, Especially Ourselves. Dan, is omitting information, do you consider that lying?
I think it's not very different than lying, but you're right that people treat it differently, right? Omitting and not omitting is not considered the same category as a direct lie. And again, it's part of the rationalization process. You can tell yourself a story why this is not really lying, when of course it really is.
I see.
Can I tell you one more thing about religion that I find
interesting? Go ahead, absolutely.
So imagine that people start becoming dishonest, and then at some point you say to yourself, you know what, I've been dishonest, there's no way I can not think of myself as honest, and then people just start being more and more dishonest. This is like the slippery slope, right? You try to cover yourself, and then at some point you just said, I'm clearly dishonest, let me just continue with that. What we found out that is in those cases, confession actually helps. So we did an experiment with a secular version of the Catholic confession, in which we got people to say what they've done badly and then to ask for forgiveness. And what we found was that those two aspects together help open a new page. And again, I think it's something that religion has figured out and secular society needs to kind of follow suit, is that once people start thinking of themselves as polluted, as not clean, as sinners, why would they ever stop?
You can actually perpetrate continued lying where you're saying confessing can actually kind of bring you back and maybe give you a better chance of going the honest way.
That's right. People want to be honest, but if they are dishonest and they can't think of themselves as honest, why would you ever stop? Why would you ever change your ways? And confession in this regard helps start a new page.
Although, from what I understand in your research, the number one factor to keep people honest is simply supervision. I guess that says a lot, does it not?
So supervision was helpful, but actually we found that reciting the Ten Commandments, swearing, pledging an oath, all of those things were just as effective. But it is true that supervision, right? If you have 100% supervision, people are not going to misbehave. The problem, of course, in society, we're unlikely to have 100% supervision, so then we need to think about other mechanisms.
I see. Now, you're saying swearing an oath, that can be just as effective as supervision, although I guess we don't get to do that at our jobs, thankfully. How does that work? People just feel vested once they swear an oath and they apparently don't want to break it?
Yeah. So we did a study with an insurance company. And we sent people letters, and people were asked to write down their odometer reading. Now, if you got one of these letters, you would want to put your odometer reading lower than it really is, because that would decrease your premium. And some people did the regular thing, which is to write down their odometer reading and then sign at the bottom of the form. And some people basically signed at the top of the form and basically swore that whatever they're going to say is going to be truthful. And those people who signed at the top of the form reported to be driving 2,400 miles on average more, right? Now, we don't know if they didn't cheat at all, but we know for sure that getting people to reconsider their own morality, get them to commit to telling the truth before filling the information, got them to be much more truthful.
On the whole, from what you've, from your research, is your feeling that most people, the vast majority of people, are largely dishonest or honest?
So, So I think it's a kind of glass half full, half empty. So in this book, I describe experiments with about 30,000 people. And from those 30,000 people, we had about 12 people who were big cheaters, and they stole about $150 from me. And you could, you know, decide if that's a big number or not a big number. But we also had 18,000 people who were little cheaters and stole a small amount from me, but together it was about $36,000. And that's clearly much more. Now, if you're a rational economist and you were looking at these results, you would say that in our experiments, people should have cheated much more, right? If you only thought about the cost and benefit, we created a situation which people could steal as much as they want and get away with it. There was no possible cost for that. So I think that the bright side of it is that people do not cheat as much as they can. Actually, something internally stops us. We do have a conscience. We do think about the morality of our action, and something stops us. The thing is that our internal conscience doesn't stop us from behaving badly at all. It just stops us from behaving very badly. Yes. But it allows us to behave slightly badly, particularly in a situation where we can easily justify it, rationalize it, tell ourselves stories about why this is actually okay.
I guess we're only human, right?
Yes.
Dan Ariely, the author of the new book, The Honest Truth About Dishonesty, How We Lie to Everyone, Especially Ourselves, just came out this month. Check it out. You can find him online at danariely, ariely.com. Dan, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We'll be right back to wrap things up. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.
Here's what's going on.